It is 952-858-8300. That's how you can help us out. 2-1 match this entire hour. James is kind enough to join us. James, thank you so much. Every story is different, okay? Every story that we hear when we've been doing this for years has its own unique nature. Let's start with yours. Growing up, where'd you grow up? What was life like early?
Blessed to be here, Mr. Hartman. And one thing you said before I stepped on your podium here is he is willing to be here, and I am willing to be here today.
Thank you.
I grew up in Illinois, born in Crystal Lake, Illinois, actually.
Okay.
And then I moved to Hampshire, Illinois.
Okay.
For high school.
What was life like?
You know, starting out, my first memory of a child, I was sitting on my kitchen table, okay? And my mother, she does this thing where she grins her teeth and she squeezes her hands violently. And I, looking at her as a three-year-old, I had no idea what to think. So shortly after, moments of infantilism, blurred vision caused this. But I didn't know what to think, but they did get a divorce. Shortly after that, my father moved in with my grandparents, his parents. So I never really grew up with living with my father, though I did see him on the weekends. And I was blessed with having a father and a mother that could still stay together, even though they were apart, in a sense, for me and my brother. Shortly after that, more blurred visions of infantilism happened. But then I remember my mother met a gentleman. I won't say his name, but he moved into our house. And I don't really remember too much about when he first got there, but I do remember the first memory I have of him. I was standing in front of my stairwell, and he pulled down my pants and began to touch me inappropriately. I was chased around the house with fecal matter. I was exposed to violent sexual videos as a young child. I remember one night I had a nightmare of some sort, screaming, crying for my mother. Well, that's not who walked in the door. He walked in the door, and he grabbed a metal spoon ladle from the kitchen. He began to whip me and beat me with it. And I just screamed in my bed. I don't really remember if I even slept that night or really what happened after that. I just know at the age of 6 or 7, I had no idea what to do, you know? So.
Was your mom aware of this at all?
I couldn't tell her at the time because of the age of being pretty much an infant. I was threatened by him with threats of harm and more discomfort that I didn't want to happen. And as a child, I can't defend myself.
Sure.
I can't defend anyone. So I just kept my mouth shut, and these events continued.
How long did they continue?
It went on for about a year.
Okay. What effect is it having on you?
Today?
No, at that time.
At that time, I was fearful. I was confused. Alone, I was angry. I don't even know if I could really process my anger, though, because I was so scared, if that makes sense.
What effect did it have on your life going forward the next few years?
Going forward the next few years, I remember the night that these events took place. It was about 9 o'clock, and this gentleman and my mother were having a fight, and he pushed my mom, and I pushed him, you know, as a 7-year-old or 6-year-old, and the police were called, and I never saw him again.
As you started to get older, these are horrific memories. These are horrific events. This is a form of torture. This is a form of abuse. This is criminal behavior. What effect did it have on you in your teenage years?
Teenage years, that's a tough question for me because I was very sexually confused. I began having lashing out anger bursts. But this story, my story, I'm not trying to depict this as me anymore. You know, this is, you know, it's part of my story, but I am where I stand today because of the Union Gospel Mission. I am free from my testimony.
How did you get to the mission? How did you get to this area?
Well, man, these events of God are truly unimaginable and miraculous to really correlate. So I struggled in high school. I had troubles with the law. I had an arson charge, a vandalism charge, and a trespassing charge at the age of 15 as a juvenile. There were, you know, lots of struggles in school. You know, I was angry. I was plagued by self-delusion, fear, anger, negative thinking. And that led me to not have a path after high school. So I began using drugs and alcohol as a way to fit in and have something to do while I wasn't doing anything.
Right. James is telling us his story. We're going to get to when he gets to the mission. It's remarkable so far. It's sad. 952-858-8300. Does the mission bring you to Minnesota? Does something else bring you here? Because are you still in Illinois at that point?
I was still in Illinois at that point, yes.
What brings you here?
What brings me here today is what you said before I got on this podium. I was not willing. I wasn't willing to get out of my bed. I would lay there, frightened for the day, wondering what would happen, not knowing, would this be the day I finally am at my breaking off point?
What were you willing to do?
I was willing to do anything.
Yep.
And when I finally became willing, I came to Minnesota. Brian Mollahan, I owe it tremendous amount of gratitude towards that gentleman. He connected with my uncle through a mission trip, and they connected years before I even got to Minnesota.
Yep.
So this was all in God's works happening, you know, years before I got there. And so I'm struggling at home. I can't hold down a job. I cannot enjoy the atmosphere. I wasn't enjoying my food. I take my glasses off next to you sitting out now. I can see the sunshine because I ended up at the mission. And I can see the miraculous atmosphere that I live in today.
What did you need for the mission?
What I needed from the mission is stuff I don't even know yet, but what I do know so far is that I am in God's hands, and I need to let go and let God. And those are words I never, ever would have thought would come out of my mouth. I couldn't express any of the emotions I had today. I can hold back from so much chaos that would take place because I can say simple things like the word okay to people. That, because when people get in conversations with me and they want to bring something out of me that is negative, that's the enemy trying to self-delude my thoughts. If I stay on the path with God and what the mission has provided for me, I will always be able to make it through. And I am a firm believer in that today.
I can only imagine how many more layers you have to you. Unfortunately, we're facing a little bit of a time restriction. Mm-hmm. Where are you at with your life right now?
I have a sponsor who you're going to talk with later today named Damien. His name's Damien, but he's really an angel. Okay? I am in school. I'm on the radio for the first time in the Mall of America. I'm working through my liabilities and turning them into assets.
Got a card in front of you, looking over. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, and I carry this card with me everywhere because with this card, this card is saving my life in a sense because I can look at where was I fearful today? Where am I self-justifying my actions? And I can turn them into, I need to self-forget. Instead of being fearful, I have to have courage. And the biggest asset of my character today is I am satisfied with where I'm at. And I know there's only more good to come.
And a lot of that is because of the mission, right?
I owe everything to that place.
James, I have a feeling we could talk for a long time about your life, and I bet we will again. But thank you so much for sharing the uniqueness of your story and the power of the mission. And we all just wish only the best. How about a round of applause? Great applause for James sharing what his life has been like and what it's like right now. That was impressive. Thank you so much. James is one example of the remarkable work the mission does on a regular basis. Please help out right now. 952-858-8300.